In the fight to stop the manufacture and sale of methamphetamine, in some parts of the country, pharmacists are joining forces with the police. This man, Mark Richards, discovered that last year when he tried to buy some cold medicine at a pharmacy in Nashville and was told to get lost.
I said, "We haven't even asked you yet." And he said, "Well, now you've asked, and I told you no, go away." And I said, "How come?" And he said, "Because you're probably cooking or smurfing."
Cooking and smurfing are slang for the process by which the decongestant pseudoephedrine gets turned into the addictive drug meth in home labs all across the country. That pharmacist in Tennessee basically decided by looking at the customer that he didn't want to sell him pseudoephedrine. In that community, like others around the nation, pharmacists are being given or are taking discretion by turning down sales that are in any way suspicious. The state of Indiana, with a huge meth problem, is permitting pharmacists to be judge and jury, deciding who can and cannot buy pseudoephedrine. It's about to become a state law. But in Fulton County, Indiana, this practice is nothing new. Pharmacy owner Harry Webb says he decided to take matters into his own hands a while ago. Webb is willing to risk discrimination in turning down sales, he says, because he's seen for himself what meth has done in his community.
This is such an addicting drug, so once a person starts doing meth, it's, you know, probably the most addicting substance on the planet, and nothing else matters once that happens. And so the child is in just absolutely neglect. They don't get fed. They themselves become just absorb it through their skin. They will test positive. You know, the wallpaper peels off the damn wall in a meth house because the chemicals used to make it are so toxic, they literally strips the wallpaper. A meth addict will collect their urine in jars. So when they run out of Sudafed, they distill their own urine down and get the meth back out of it and smoke it again. You know, that's what happens in these places. And this drug addiction is more than just the addiction we're trying to address here. We're trying to address all the consequences of everybody else around them. You know, we had a very prominent person in the community that inherited a beautiful home from his father. Great guy, very big, you know, community. But he had this big home. He was a single guy, so he rents out the back bedroom. Goes away for the weekend, and the guy cooks meth, burns the house to the ground. You know, it's a $300,000 loss in a nice neighborhood, and now it'll never be a home again because it's just a bare lot that they've sold off to the neighbor.
Is it important to you and your friends that Fulton County not be known as having a meth problem? The reason I'm asking is because people got together when graffiti was a problem in a lot of inner cities and restricted sales of spray paint. And, you know, that eventually became law, but it was the result of ground up community mobilization to make changes. Is that what you're involved with here?
Oh, sure. That's exactly what it is. When we got the chain pharmacies who were pressuring their employees to not restrict sales, when we got them just to agree to do some simple things, like let's just display, there are pseudoephedrine products that are what they call meth deterrent. One of them is called Nexafed. One's called Zephyr XD. Their market share is very minimal compared to the national brands and even the generic products because a lot of the chains don't even stock them. Because when 90% of the sales is 80 to 90% of the sales is going into meth, well, there's not going to be people buying the meth deterrent product except maybe legitimate people. And so it's been a struggle, but it's such a common sense product. Why not, if you don't know the person, why not just offer them a package of Nexafed and it'll treat their symptoms and everybody's happy. If they are smurfing it and using it to make meth, they're going to turn around and leave. They're not going to buy it because they don't want to burn their Emplex transaction on a product they can't make it with. And it's such a common sense thing. Why would not any pharmacy want to do that? Well, the problem was is because a lot of corporate chains were telling their employees they can't do that. You can't even put it in stock.
It occurs to me that this sort of gets at your personal pride at being a pharmacist, as someone who helps people. Seeing a product of yours used to destroy neighborhoods.
Exactly. I mean, pharmacists legitimize sales of things every day. You know, we are trained to use what they call DEA red flags to evaluate. You know, we're not just handling Sudafed. We obviously handle a lot of drugs that can be abused, and we're constantly on guard for substance abuse behavior and possible forgeries. And you know, pharmacists are very trained in spotting that kind of stuff. I mean, it's something we do every day. There has been some pushback saying, well, I don't have time to be doing this with all the pseudoephedrine sales. Well, when you eliminate 80% of your sales, you'll find out that, you know, the average store that has eliminated all the smurfing activity, once you stop one, you stop that whole parade, and you're not going to lose a lot of time. You may have 2 transactions a day versus 60. Life is good. You're not being bothered by this constant flow of people coming in just trying to destroy their neighborhoods.
Harry Webb is a pharmacist and owner of Webb's Family Pharmacy in Fulton County, Indiana.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.